Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
American Readout. Thank you guys for tuning in and for being out there following us daily on Radio Free Readout on Facebook. That is a great way to share news stories, jokes, things like that. But remember, that is a very valuable tool for your adversary trying to potentially incriminate you. And I want you guys to proceed with caution with that. It's a great social media tool, but we're going to talk about social networking today, especially in segment 4, how that can be your downfall. So I have a great deal of respect for people that want to stay away from social media altogether. But I also understand those the social media networks are a great way to very rapidly move a lot of information to a lot of people to inform folks about developing situations in real time. So there's value, but be cautious, and we will continue to reiterate that. Let's get into the news and commentary right off the bat, because there's a bunch of stuff that I'm going to cover tonight. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. He's helping to sponsor our news and commentary section. So thank you guys for supporting the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. Let's go national news first. From thehill.com, the State Department is hoping to bring an average of nearly 1,500 Syrian refugees to the United States per month in order to meet President Obama's target of settling 10,000 refugees in the country by September. They're seeding the North American continent with Muslims. In the New York Post, speaking of Obama, just gave cops the okay to simply take your stuff. Now, we talked about this in the past. When Attorney General Loretta Lynch decided late last year that the Justice Department would end the federal civil asset forfeiture program, criminal justice reform advocates proclaimed it a significant deal. But late last month, less than 4 months later, the Obama administration reversed itself. Big surprise. And reinstated the Asset Forfeiture Fund Orwellian Equitable Sharing Program. And that's a shame, particularly when the only supporters of the policy are the law enforcement agencies that directly benefit from it. Now, if you guys aren't aware of this, the federal program's combined annual revenue has grown more than 1,000% in the last 15 years, filling the coffers of federal, state, and local police departments. So this is when you have a large sum of cash and they confiscate it under this war on drugs, ostensibly. Because, I mean, only somebody who's carrying that much cash could be involved in, the only thing you could be doing is something illegal, right? Or when they bust somebody for doing something illegal and they haul in your car, the boat that you're hauling, everything, because it's all material to the crime that you were committing, whatever it is. And these agencies are splitting the booty with local law enforcement to gain their support. So that's how they're getting new cars and ATVs and RVs and everything else. It's a horrible program. Legalized piracy. Government-run piracy. Highway robbery. This is just sad. there was a big deal about it in the American Redoubt. And the agency, or I should say the contractor that goes around teaching departments how to do it, brought in and paid to teach these state, county, local agencies on how to seize assets from people when you bust them for different things and to keep it. And they're getting wealthy off of it, which lends itself to corruption. And that is just something that's gotten completely out of control, treating people like they're guilty before even being found guilty or innocent in a court of law. California school district votes to arm teachers. You heard that right. In occupied territory of all places, a Central Valley school district south of Fresno, California, voted this week to allow their teachers to carry guns on campus. In a unanimous vote on Monday, April 11th, the school board approved a new policy that allows up to 5 Kingsburg Joint Union High School District employees designated by the superintendent to carry a concealed firearm on school grounds. They're getting it. And there were some people that were all upset because they said, oh, well, there's some threat that we're not aware of. And they're like, no, there's no known threat. This is just being proactive. And so their brains are short-circuiting in that community trying to figure that out. What do you mean proactive? So good on them. That's a victory. In occupied territory, you got to celebrate when you have victories like that in occupied territory. But the anti-gunners keep coming. Bloomberg Group is helping to buy another gun control initiative. Or is it? Well, Bloomberg's organization that he funds, Every Town for Gun Safety, is the name of the organization. It's the multi-million-dollar grassroots, so-called, lobbying group funded by anti-gun billionaire Michael Bloomberg has just pledged $500,000 to help pass another gun control measure in Washington state, eliciting a quick reaction from the head of a national gun rights organization headquartered in the city of Bellevue. They're calling it, Initiative 1491. That one, it's backed by the Alliance for Gun Responsibility, AGR, the newest incarceration. Funny word there, huh? The newest incarnation of the Washington Alliance for Gun Responsibility. And that organization was founded and partly funded by Seattle venture capitalist Nick Hanauer. Its early foray, Initiative 594, was passed in 2014. After WAGR raised and spent more than $10.3 million. The other one was the I-594 Universal Background Check, which is a flop. Now the new one is I-1491, Initiative 1491. It's the so-called Extreme Risk Protection Order scheme that, according to critics, skirts due process to allow people to obtain restraining protection orders that strip people of their gun rights. Sound familiar? California? And that's what's gotten the attention of the SAF founder and executive vice president Alan Gottlieb, who also opposed the I-594. Like the earlier measure, I-1491 is long, spanning 20 pages. Critics invariably contend the devil is in the details of such lengthy measures. So they are going to be pushing back on that one. Another attempt. Bloomberg's behind it. So that's basically right there's your marching orders to fight against it. Okay, remember to pray for our political prisoners that are being held right now. We're going to break and go to Fox 519 with the Eye on the Economy. We'll come back in a minute. Talk about some recent developments. And I'm going to let you listen to a phone conversation I had with one of our patriots who is being held right now, one who I know personally, Todd Engel, who was arrested last month and is in custody in Nevada right now. And he wants to share some things with some of the patriots. And I wanted to help get that message out and give you some information also that some of you have asked about to help support some of these guys. So all that and more when we come back. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
Japan's economy has ground to a halt due to natural disasters, and China is up to their old tricks again as we see the Asian corner of the world beginning to cause major ripples in our world economic structure. Hello everyone, Fox 519 here, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome back. Folks, natural disasters usually aren't first on a prepper's radar. It's usually the normal stuff. Economics, war, EMP, civil disturbances. But natural disasters are usually down on the list. But the impacts they have on world economies can be major and far-reaching. With a major earthquake and aftershocks in Japan that they experienced this week, major companies are starting to hold a production in all of their durable goods, the first of which is Toyota. Earlier, yes, on the 17th today, Toyota announced it will suspend most car production across Japan as a result of critical supply chain disruptions caused by the most recent destructive earthquakes and numerous aftershocks. Now, this is going to affect all of their major assembly lines, and they will be shut down across its four directly run plants. And Toyota will begin halting production in all stages at other group companies as well. According to the Nikkei Asian Review, most of the Toyota group will be effectively shut down to the end of this upcoming week. And that will cause a loss of production as many as 50,000 cars. The brands that are affected are Prius, Lexus, and Land Cruiser. Here's a quote from their company. Decisions regarding the recommencement of operations in plants in Japan are made in the basements of the availability of parts. Now, this is what they said yesterday. The truth is, it's not just Toyota being affected either. Honda, Sony, and a semiconductor manufacturer named Renesas have all decided to shut down operations this week as a result of the aftershocks and earthquakes. Folks, natural disasters are wild cards, and without a quick recovery supply line, these major companies could experience worldwide layoffs, and worse yet, complete shutdowns, which could not only impact car manufacturers, but sales dealerships and ability for people to fix their cars to get back to work. The impacts are far-reaching, and we will keep an eye on this as we move forward. In other world news, China has made another move in an unlikely ally, Hungary. Now, what's happened is Hungary has issued sovereign bonds denominated in yuan. Now, this is being reported in the Wall Street Journal this morning. Hungary has priced the three-year bond yield at 6.25, raising almost 1 billion yuan, or $154 million. Now, that is a small price for a sovereign bank deal, but the bankers involved in the transaction estimated that if Hungary had issued the debt in U.S. dollars and then swapped the proceeds in the yuan, it would have paid almost 1% less. Interesting, huh? Now, this isn't a total surprise move, as the Bank of China opened a yuan clearing center in Budapest last October, and that's according to China's Xinjiang news agency. And there, according to them, there was also a ceremony involving Hungary's prime minister and the Bank of China chairman, Tian Guli. In January of this year, Hungary mandated the Bank of China solely use its offshore yuan bond. Now, this follows a certain pattern we're seeing. Obviously, we've seen the United Kingdom issue $3 billion in offshore yuan bonds in October. And that was 4 months after the China Construction Bank said it would launch the yuan clearing in yuan. Wow. Now, some may trump this as another nail in the coffin for the U.S. dollar. I, however, see things in the grand scheme. This announcement is essentially meaningless at the moment to the United States. But to me, Fox 519, this is just another part of that death by a thousand cuts I talked about last year. This is another sign that you need to continue to prep. We are just one simple press conference away from total economic anarchy. Stay frosty, everyone. Thanks again for listening. For Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Thank you for that, Fox 519 with the Eye on the Economy. Thank you so much. John Jacob at RadioFreeReadout.com is my email. And if you're listening on the go, RadioFreeReadout.com is the website. This segment, too, is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate to help Patriots get relocated to the northern part of the Panhandle in Idaho. Give Selkirk Mountain Real Estate a call. Check out their website at selkirkmountainrealestate.com. Patriot-owned, great folks. They are true patriots and worthy of your support. I want to remind you of a couple of events. This coming week, Chris Ann Hall is going to be in Prosser, Washington, on Thursday and Friday, the 21st and 22nd. I will be there on the 21st, and I'd love being able to go when I'm not speaking. I just sit there and just soak it up and just be part of the crowd. I like that. But I'm also looking forward to seeing many of you. It'll be good to see Chris Ann again. I was texting her earlier today, getting some of those details worked out. So it'll be good to see her again. Always good. The Preparedness Expo in Prosser, Washington is May 7th. We'll be there. Lots of Amron operators will be there. I'll be speaking. Pastor Sharam Hadian, Representative Matt Shea, several others. Dave from AMP3 will be giving his suturing class. A lot of preparedness, self-reliant classes and training and things that pertain to Patriot issues as well. So we look forward to seeing you there. Don't forget also to put on your calendars T-Rex 2016 Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise, the grid down nationwide scenario based exercise from Friday through Sunday, June 10th through the 12th. It'll be a great chance for you to try out your communications gear, the communications plan. Amron nets will be running according to the signals operating instructions. What else? Oh, you give just a chance to turn your power off and put your preparedness plan to the test. Lots more going on. We'll be announcing that stuff. Of course, God and Country this year is going to be the weekend before the 4th of July, and we're expecting a big attendance for that. Representatives John Moore and Representative Michelle Fiore from Nevada will be at God and Country this year. Representative Matt Shea, Representative Heather Scott. Oh, I know I'm forgetting somebody. Forgive me. I don't know if Chris Ann Hall is going to be there, but I will be there. I'm speaking as well. Pastor Sharam Hadian, all the usual suspects. And that's a great time. I want to share something with you guys. This was a conversation with Todd Engel. He was arrested for participating at Bundy Ranch. And it's preposterous, the charges that they have over 50 people now detained. Some of them just for holding signs. No firearms, no assault charges, nothing like that. But they're charging them with conspiring and impeding and conspiring to impede, crossing state lines to conspire to impede federal officers. I mean, they're really stretching it. There are people in jail right now, in prison, facing prison sentences, if convicted, that are just mind-boggling. This is reminiscent of what we saw in Stasi, East Germany. Anybody who questions the system or appears to be part of any part of our culture that's going to question this system and hold them accountable, they want to punish. But their prayers are needed right now. They need encouragement and they need support. Now, there's a whole list of them, and they've been listed over at the Coalition of Western States and elsewhere, but I happen to know Todd personally. So this one really hit home for me. I mean, we've spent time together, went to dinner together, went to lunch together. We've talked about the issues and things. He invited me to go to a couple training sessions with them, some three percenters, and it just never got around to it just because of a schedule conflicts and stuff. And we were going to do that this month here in April, which obviously we can't because he's in jail in Nevada. Now, before you go to, he probably, you know, he blabbed too much on Facebook. He violated OPSEC. He put himself in this situation. Regardless, this is something that can happen to any one of us. The things that people are getting detained for, as long as you're a scared, quivering mouse in the corner that never peeps or speaks out against the federal government, you're you're not safe. So right now, some of these guys, they painted a bullseye on themselves against the better judgment and advice of many of us, taking unnecessary risks, sticking your neck out there, and many of them are arrested. Many of them who didn't do anything to get arrested have been arrested because they just happened to be there. Just being there is a good way to get a target painted on you. Going to the Malheur Refuge, going to Bundy Ranch, even if you're just going to hold a sign, that's a good way to get a bullseye painted on you. But we live in the United States of America, and we have constitutionally so-called protected freedoms. Now, we're seeing that erode. This is the manifestation right here that our country is not America any longer, only in name. But I just want to share some of the, he asked if I would, you know, pass some stuff along to the listeners. And he also said your prayers and letters of support are just coveted. And so they're so grateful for those. And many of you have asked, how can we write to these guys and just let them know we're praying for them and, you know, encourage them and things like that. So I'm going to give you the information for Todd Engel. And for any of the others, if you guys want their contact information, get a hold of me and I will get you the information. I will dig it. I do have it. It's just buried in my avalanche of emails and stuff. But I will get it if you guys would like to help do that. But this is my conversation with Todd. I want to just share part of it with you. We talked for about a half an hour, but I'm going to share with about 10 minutes or so with you guys. And then I'll get you his his mailing address there in Nevada right after this audio snippet. So just sit back and listen.
Todd? John Jacob.
Todd, how the heck are you?
How are you, bro? I mean,
that's a horrible question. How are you? Just been thinking about you and praying over you.
Oh, thank you, man. You have no idea the power of prayer until you're in a facility like this. And then you know the Holy Spirit is truly alive.
Well, hey, Paul and the other guys in the Bible said the same thing.
That's exactly it. When you're incarcerated like this, I mean, I'm not being tortured like Paul was, but, I mean, I've done 20 days in solitary confinement so far. And let me tell you, that's a whole new world right there. You don't see the sun I didn't see the sun for 72 hours.
Wait, you were in solitary confinement?
I did 20 days. I did 11 days in Kootenai County Jail, and I did 8 days here in Nevada.
Now, what do you mean by solitary confinement? I mean, what is that?
A 10 by 7 room with a bunk bed and a toilet and a sink. And they
you were not
your
allowed
food
to leave?
No, you get an hour a day in a dog kennel outside. Here in Pahrump, Nevada.
You're in Pahrump. Why?
I'm in Pahrump.
Now, why I thought solitary confinement was like punishment.
It is. Well, see, when I got here, there's a huge story behind this, and this is you guys' prayers and your power, and I want you guys to understand what you're doing out there is having so much effect. So when I got here to Pahrump, there was a whole big debacle. They took me off the bus first, and I was shackled harder than everybody else with what's called the black box over my handcuffs. They stuck me in a concrete room for 12 hours and then shipped me off to court. So, I mean, I had 24 hours of hell on marshals, planes, and everything else. So then when they finally...
Just a note, this is where the call dropped. So he called me back just... about 2 or 3 minutes later. So that's what that was. I'll shorten that out and shorten that down and then continue on.
Hello, this is an Amtel operator with a free call from
Todd.
To accept this call, press 1. All phone calls are subject to monitoring and recording. You have 15 minutes available for this call. Thank you for using Amtel.
Oh, man, I don't know what
happened.
Where
did I lose you?
I tried calling the number back.
They wouldn't let me call my mom and sister one day. They kept cutting me off. It's the prison doing this.
Okay. Now, what's your prisoner number?
When I say something they don't like, they just cut me off.
Okay. What's your detainee number? So I have no information on you.
18427-023.
Of course, my pen doesn't want to write. Okay. 18427-023.
grab a different pen.
Yeah.
And you are in Pahrumpf.
I am in Pahrumpf.
Okay. What's the name of the facility?
Yep. It's called the Southern Nevada Southern Detention Center.
Okay.
And people have, or you can give people the address, have them write to me. It really helps. There's already fan mail coming in, and that helps a bunch.
Okay. That's. Do you have that address memorized?
I don't. You can look it up.
Okay. And you just address it to detainee number 184-2702. Yep. Okay, got it.
Put my name and then my number on there, and it'll get to me.
Okay. Are you
they read everything.
Are you ENGEL or LE?
ENGEL.
Okay, I have it correct then. Okay, good. So they had you shackled and in solitary confinement. What's the alternative besides
general population, so they go from solitary confinement in a 10-by-7 room to red shirts, which is maximum. And two of our guys are in maximum right now, unless Michelle Fiore's been able to get them out.
Good.
And I'm hoping and praying that she can get them out and get them into general population. So they moved me out after you guys all raised holy hell out there. They couldn't keep us in anymore, so they moved us out on late Monday night last week. And put me in general population and all the rest of us. So you can imagine that Loretta Lynch probably threw a wine glass against the wall that night saying you couldn't even keep us in solitary confinement because you guys are so awesome up there.
Okay, how is it in general population? Do you feel safe?
It is a dorm. It's dorm style. There's 48 bunk beds, so they can fit 96 guys. There is a area where we can go outside of about 30 by 40. Yeah, but the media is filleting us all over the place.
We know.
I don't
we
know
see
how
it.
They get an inventory.
Yeah. But, you know, the social media is extremely powerful, and the word is getting out there about the truth of what's happening. You know, there's a
I know, but I want you guys to – I want – you know, don't – you take excerpts of our call, and you're giving you permission to share it on your show. But I'm going to share with you something that's it's just breaking my heart. But I'm learning a lot about this injustice system in here. And guys, don't be disappointed if I end up pleading to something. It's if I'm able to plead to something small and get a very small sentence, I'm probably going to do it other than taking this thing all the way to trial on my principles.
Well, that's precisely why they throw all those heavy charges, you know, 15 to 25 years.
My principles could put me away for 20 years if I lose in a trial.
That's something that obviously, you know, you really have to seek prayer, wise counsel.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to take into consideration. And one thing that you've got to know is that, first of all, you're not forgotten about. Secondly, a lot of people are praying for you. This is ongoing discussions right now. And the people are aware that everybody in detention right now are political prisoners. They're not criminals.
Yeah, that's exactly what we
are. The criminals, and of course I covered this in a show, you know, when you've got federal agents pointing sniper rifles and combat rifles at citizens who are holding signs exercising their First Amendment rights, or even their Second Amendment right. If they got a holstered pistol while they're holding the sign, they're perfectly within their right, but they're being aggravated assault is being carried out against citizens, and there's no accountability there. There's no charges against those who committed those crimes, and that's what we're shining the light on, and people are taking notice of that.
Good. You know, like I said, the Marshal Service wanted to keep us in here until the trial was over, which was 3 to 4 years. They're going to postpone the trial for probably 2 years, and this trial, from what I'm understanding, could take at least a year, if not two, to culminate.
Okay.
So they wanted to keep us in solitary for that amount of time. And when you guys got on the phones and emails to the Marshal Service in this prison, they couldn't hold us for one day. One day, John.
Well, that was the plan.
That's how important your guys' pressure is. It's amazing the impact you guys are having.
Okay.
So I want to convey that to you guys and all your people and let them know how important it is that they write and call and tell this prison they better take care of us and they better treat us humanely and let the Marshal Service know what an injustice they're committing.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Oh, no.
And I'll call you back in a minute. That's not a big deal.
Oh, you can? Okay, so, good. Good.
Yeah, let me call you back right back. I'll call you back.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Hello. This is an MTEL operator with a free call from
Todd.
To accept this call, press 1. All phone calls are subject to monitoring and recording. You have 15 minutes available for this call. Thank you for using MTEL.
All right, we're good to go.
Yeah, another 15 minutes. So, yeah, just please let everybody know that what they're doing is really making a difference. It's not going to waste. Every call they make and email they send is truly a blessing, and it's a curse to the powers that be. They are scared to death of you guys out there.
That is encouraging for us to know. We need to know that as well. As much as you need to know, you know, that we're fighting for you, we need to know that it's effective. So that's
effective. Yeah, they treat us with kit gloves in here because they're very nervous about us getting hurt or injured or killed.
Thank you for using MTEL.
Okay, now I'm going to be talking later in the show about social networking and mapping out that human terrain of who's who and who knows who and things like that. So, you know, some of you might be reluctant to write a patriot, just an encouraging, you know, a scripture, a prayer, some encouraging words. You know, if you don't feel called to do that, then that's fine. There's, in my opinion, there's no danger or breach of OPSEC or PERSEC or anything like that by sending a letter. Just know that they're going to read the letter to make sure there's nothing in there about, you know, our escape plan or anything like that. These guys are getting letters from all over the country, from kids to parents, from pastors, from people in the Patriot community, grassroots leaders, elected officials and things like that to encourage these guys that are being detained right now. So, you know, it's totally your call, but I know some of you, you're like, I don't care. I want to write him a letter. Know that we're just praying for him, you know, and to hang in there, and we're going to do all we can from this end. And, there's been some abuses that have been reported, and I'm trying to vet those information sources. The way some of these guys have been treated is worse. In fact, the reports, if they're true, and they seem to be very credible, the way that some of the Patriots have been treated, if a U.S. soldier treated a known Taliban or Al-Qaeda terrorist this way in Guantanamo, he would be sent to Leavenworth. But there's no accountability here. And after I get done vetting it, I'm going to expose it. I'm going to put it out there, their testimony, and plea with this listening audience to contact your senators, your congressmen, to put it just unbearable pressure against the federal government to hold them accountable for mistreating American citizens who have not been found guilty in a court of law, treating them worse than we can legally treat somebody as a POW, or worse than we can treat a known terrorist. So anyway, I'll have more information on that. But let me get Todd's information for you right now. And he's a good man. He is a God-fearing patriot. And he made some decisions that I would not advise. But even though you have the right and the constitutional right to do certain things, we need to be evaluating the current political and social climate that we're living in, the reality of it. Anyway, these guys, in their just boldness to stand up for things that we all believe in, and they've lost their freedom over this. And we don't know for how long. But anyway, they're good people. They're worthy of our prayers and our support. And if you want to take the time to encourage them, this is Todd Engel. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to post this in our highlights and resources posting, so I don't have to just read to you this whole address and detainee number and all this stuff. But I'll put that on the highlights and resources posting. How's that sound? Let's go ahead and take a break and come back. There's some other things I want to share with you guys. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too.
Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. What is a rhino? Well, in modern political terms, it means Republican in name only. But in truth, both parties have them. They're opportunists, and they are everywhere. And now that the general election is 6 weeks away, it's good to know who's who. An opportunist is a person who is beholden to compromise and not principle, who says one thing but does another. It's a person who won't take a pledge in writing because they say it's a gimmick. It's a person who campaigns on pro-business conservatism, but behind the scenes takes thousands from the pro-gas tax lobby and labor unions, including SEIU, who championed Obamacare. It's a person who says they're out to help every man, but can only do so by raising taxes. My opponent is one of those people. Over the past 6 years in Olympia, I've done what I said I was going to do, and that's make lower taxes, less government, and more freedom a reality in Olympia. Actions speak louder than words. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Community Look, Matt Shea, Republican.
How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com.
In a world where not all podcasts are equal.
All right, we're back with segment three, which is brought to you by Katie Armor. With all of your body armor needs, front and back, side plates, body armor carriers, they got it all. And if you use your coupon code John Jacob, you get a discount on that. The prices include shipping. Go to katiearmor.com. They are an American Redoubt-based company. Just solid people. Awesome stuff. Now, there's a few things I want to share with you guys. First of all, last week I talked about a course that I attended last weekend by CSG, Combat Studies Group, about OPSEC, PERSEC, about personal security, operational security, encryption, and anonymity. This stuff's going to be very super important. Hopefully, you guys on the East Coast, if you can make it at all on the 23rd and 24th of April, this coming week or weekend in Pennsylvania, we've got the information on our website to attend this course. It's $300. It's worth every penny of it. It is amazing. You'll need to bring a laptop and three USB hard drives. But if you go to combatstudiesgroup.blogspot.com, they've got all the information right there for you to take this course. And this is the type of tradecraft that patriots are going to need to know at some point in the future. And it really goes hand in hand with the stuff that we were talking about with our scenario with the Chinese invading and hunting down people who belong to illegal, unsanctioned underground churches, right? And they're after your home group leader, your Bible study leader, home church leader. How would you hide him? And how would you coordinate and correspond with one another without getting nailed? In segment four, I'm going to talk about a couple of case examples. We're going to go through those, kind of doing an analysis of those. Very important stuff. But there's something else that goes right along with that. This weekend, there is going to be a course in Washington State. You guys know John Mosby, if you follow Mountain Gorilla blog. Okay, John Mosby, previously Special Forces, does a lot of tactical training, but he's putting on a course this weekend that is being facilitated by or hosted by the group, the Order of the White Rose. And you can go to whiterose.us, events, guerrilla support operations class. And that's going to be May 3rd at 1700 through May 4th at 2100 hours. That's Pacific time. But May 3rd, May 4th, it's $150. And this goes into underground safe house networks, things like that. That's kind of stuff. You can learn more about that course. But John Mosby has a great reputation for his level of skills and his training. So go and check that out. I'm going to put the link in the highlights and resources posting to the Order of the White Rose. You guys, you know what that is. I've talked about that before, and we had that in the Partisan Diaries that we did a couple years ago. I had a whole series of those by a code named Chloe that she did. The White Rose, the Order of the White Rose, was a resistance group that mostly dealt with propaganda. There were college students at a university during the German occupation, and they were making flyers and distributing flyers, anti-Nazi and anti-socialist propaganda, mostly flyers, and really getting people riled up against the Nazis. So the Nazis hunted them down and got many of them, but they were known as the Order of the White Rose. Well, there's this group in Oregon, very pro-liberty, pro-American, anti-socialism, patriotic stuff and things. And they do a good job over there. So they're going to be hosting this as well. So go ahead and check that out. A couple of things I wanted to steer you toward. First of all, hopefully by now you guys are running a VPN or a virtual private network, or you basically tunnel into the internet encrypted. It changes your IP address, so your IP address cannot be tracked. So your activity, online activity, can't be tracked. It's called a VPN, virtual private network. And I use one. There's several out there. And Kilo over at Combat Studies Group has several there listed that he's gone through and he recommends. So, I'm not going to endorse anyone in particular, but go to combatstudiesgroup.blogspot.com. And get a VPN right now before you do anything else on the internet. This is going to be really, really important for the future. And I'm going to talk about a couple of case studies that are going on right now or very recent events. And there's one article in particular, Manhunting, the Sport of Security Forces. It's the title of the article. It ties right in with what we've been talking about with the Going Underground series. So I'm going to incorporate this segment coming up into that. And we're going to have those available on CD, probably starting with Prosser. We'll have those available, that and the Coming Underground. So I'm working on those during the week. All right, guys, let's take a quick break, come back with segment 4, and we'll finish up with this analysis of real-world cases of these guys getting rolled up over in Europe and how it happened, and maybe some lessons we can glean from it. So stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment. The best part of North Idaho is her people, friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here. to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, revrealty.us, and may God bless you.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Segment 4 brought to you by Works Holsters. Go to Works, W-E-R-K-Z, works.com for custom Kydex holsters and magazine pouches. They are an American readout-based company, and they have a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Don't forget to use the coupon code RFR once again. Now, there are two things I want to cover here. One, just very briefly. We're talking about Jake Ryan from Montana a couple of weeks ago. I just briefly mentioned it. What was interesting is that right when I was talking about, you know, the Going Underground series about, you know, how you would go underground, I found out that this Jake Ryan was trying to avoid or delay turning himself in to the feds. Now, they ended up finding Jake, 27-year-old man. He was at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, found him sleeping in a shed over in Oregon. So the article over at Oregon Live says, Jake Edward Ryan, the 27-year-old Montana man who had been sought by federal authorities for more than 2 weeks on an indictment stemming from the takeover of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, was found hiding in a stranger's shed in Clark County Tuesday afternoon. This must be Oregon. He was found with a .45 caliber handgun and several knives. So basically they have him in custody. And, you know, if you decide not to turn yourself in, that's a pretty serious decision. It's a personal decision that only you can make. You're not any more dangerous because you're not in custody. At least this guy wasn't. But just not turning yourself in doesn't make you any more dangerous. But that is a personal, like I said, it's a very personal decision each person has to make for themselves. But he chose not to, or at least he chose to delay it. He just, I don't know, he wanted some time to clear his head, to think about it, to hang on to the last couple of weeks of freedom while he could before going to turn himself in. I don't know. I don't know him. I've never spoken with him. But I know the family is extremely disappointed right now that the federal agents have him and have him in custody. And it's a shame what they're doing to the Patriots right now, in my opinion. Now, there's an article here. It's called Manhunting, the Sport of Security Forces. It's over at medium.com. Now, this really ties in to this scenario that we laid out when somebody asked the question, if one day the Chinese invaded and they wanted to start arresting our home church leader and he decided to go underground and hide, how would we go about doing it? So I went through that step-by-step practical measures that you can take. Now there's more, and I'm not going to go into everything here because, well, the agents that are eavesdropping and listening in, sorry, guys, I'm not going to reveal everything, but I will tell you this. If you implement what I did cover, you've just greatly increased the odds of the Chinese not being able to find you and for an indefinite amount of time being able to successfully stay underground, so long as you don't breach these things that I laid out. Okay, here's an article. You guys know that after the terrorist attacks in Belgium, they went on a manhunt. They arrested Salah Abdeslam. They got him. All right, so this is an analysis of about how they caught him. Now, these lessons, now this guy was a stinking, murdering Muslim terrorist. Right? I'm glad they got him. But sometimes bad guys chase good guys to arrest them, harm them, execute them, whatever. So let's learn from this. What would happen if a communist Chinese invading government forces and intelligence services were hunting down Christian home church leaders? They're going to use the exact same tools in their mind's eye. You are a criminal terrorist, right? That must be brought to justice. So if we learn from real terrorists and the mistakes that they made when they got caught, maybe that could keep American patriots alive a little bit longer if the Chinese are hunting them down. So the captor, the capture of Salah Abdeslam is certainly good news. He will be, I'm reading to you from this article, he will be a rich source of information about ISIS inside of Europe. Stop right there. Key in on that. If you get detained, you will be considered an intelligence source. They will do everything to exploit you multiple different ways, including interrogation. They are going to be trying to fill in all of the blanks in their intelligence picture, all right, using you. Imagine how much fun that's going to be when the Chinese got their hands on you. The manhunt was intense, and his ability to remain hidden inside Belgium for months was quite an accomplishment, particularly given the poor ISIS security. Belgian police, with key in on that, ISIS had poor security. Belgian police, with considerable assistance from international intelligence agencies, have been following leads and conducting raids. So they've been following leads and conducting raids, and it was with the help of international intelligence agencies that they were able to finally get him. Now, Salah went missing after he wimped out of martyrdom, ditching his suicide vest and calling friends to come pick him up and take him home. The car was stopped by the French and everyone ID'd, but their names weren't available to the police yet. So the police running these guys' names at this traffic stop, their names hadn't been listed into this database yet as suspects or persons of interest. So they slipped away. Clearly, security forces are not sharing counterterrorism information fast enough to handle modern operations. A slow-moving target like the Soviets or even Al-Qaeda allows for a more relaxed approach. ISIS operational tempo and behavior is too fast and haphazard. Key in on that. If you want to be successful in slipping away, increasing your chances of slipping away, then you have to move fast, a fast tempo, okay, and erratic behavior, at least in the sense of avoiding patterns. Predictable patterns are indicators that could point you out as a probable person of interest. Now, this was interesting. The Molenbeek area where Salah had been hiding is riddled with radical support networks and sympathizers. He was able to rely on his friends and other support networks. Police targeted elements of these upper networks and eventually discovered a link to Salah himself. Belgian and French police, who had worked intensively together since November 13th, carried out a midday check on what, according to several officials, they thought was a defunct terrorist safe house. The utility bills hadn't been paid in months, leading police to assume the apartment in the forest district of southern Brussels stood empty. The six-person team didn't expect to meet resistance and brought no police backup or special forces support. So they walked up to this. They were expecting to just do an investigation on a abandoned safe house because the bills hadn't been paid. So when the police opened the door, they were shot at with AKs and a riot gun. Interesting. So that's another good way to bring attention to yourself, is not pay the utility bill. But that's not why they went. They didn't send these guys to investigate this place because they didn't pay their bills. They sent them based on their intelligence and investigations indicated this was probably a safe house. But since the bill hadn't been paid in months, they figured these guys probably just abandoned it and left, which was not the case. Now, if you've got a safe house in this type of a situation, if you've got a known safe house that's known by your network, and then these guys carried out an attack, they should have abandoned that safe house. They should have reestablished new ones. But they didn't. They kept using it. Eventually, the contacts and leads is going to bring them to your location. So in the case of a, let's say a raid on a underground church and the pastor slips away, all right, you can't go to your buddy's home group underground church and hang out because you guys all been buds and been in contact with each other for the last 6 months, you know, encouraging one another, and you're both each got underground churches going on. Okay, the other one is going to be targeted at some point. But these guys didn't change up their routine. Now, the defunct safe house had a glass with Salah's fingerprint. Police developed a number of leads and ended up monitoring a house in the Molenbeek area. They developed a number of leads. So, what do you think those leads are? Well, they don't say. It could be other fingerprints that they found in that location belonging to persons that they had not previously suspected, that they know lives right over here 5 blocks away. So they start watching him, and they start watching the people coming in and out. And on top of that, they are watching all of the metadata with phone calls and texts that are taking place, and probably have, you know, Stingray type cell phone intercepting towers set up all through these areas. It's a hot spot. If you live in a hot spot of high activity of, let's say, a high Christian population with several suspected underground churches, you can count on it. If they're aggressively trying to take down that network of underground churches, they are going to have intercept, SIGINT intercept type of assets deployed in that area to include Stingray type cell phone intercepting capabilities. This author speculated that the leads were based on analysis of mobile devices and knowledge of existing social networks. And I say, count on it. Using the identities of the suspects from the safe house as an entry point into the support network based on social ties, further likely suspects could be identified. Absolutely, they are. Everybody who is connected. This is why, you know, if you got 500 friends on Facebook, that's not real good social networking, because anybody can friend anybody and follow other people's jokes and little things like that. But when you start interacting with people and Facebook messaging one another, and you start to see more an increased level of correspondence, then that starts to tighten that ring of connected persons together. Very rarely do I ever use the Facebook Messenger. I'm not a big fan of Facebook anyway, but he has a couple of updates. The lead was based on metadata. Ding, ding, a phone call. A phone call, metadata. The house where Salah was captured was the home of Abid Abercom, a friend of his. See, the social mapping that they're going to be doing, they're going to be nailing all of your friends. Anyone you're associated with. Remember what I said in the series. First, look in your phone and look at the last 10 people you've called. Eliminate them. You're not going to see them or talk to them for a long time. Staking out the house, the police became convinced that a larger group of people was there after a woman who seemed to live there ordered several pizzas, according to two security officials. Just like the raid on El Chapo Guzman was triggered by a large food order, it seems Salah's capture was based on too many pizzas. Maybe fugitives might want to consider cooking at home rather than ordering delivery. Good point. There's a single woman living there, or just a young couple there, and they're ordering like 7 pizzas every day or every other day. That's just, it's the details. You're going to get taken down by those little tiny things. Now, it seems that significant parts of the manhunt were enabled by recovering and analyzing mobile phones used by the various suspects. Remember what I said? If you get raided, they are taking everything digital, including and especially phones. They want the phones. The best thing you could do is keep your data backed up, and if you have the opportunity, smash, trash, and crash it and completely render it unusable. Aside from the fingerprint found on what they say Tuesday here in this article, which was actually last Tuesday, earlier raids on suspected terrorist hideouts brought other important leads, according to officials. Electronic devices confiscated earlier in earlier raids helped authorities track Abdusalam down. And once a suspect's mobile number and SIM card have been identified, investigators can then serve a court order on telecoms operators to track the number and card down to the nearest phone tower. You getting this? This is why we talked about using burner phones, leaving your phone on and at home or destroying it. But you abandon that stuff. These guys did not. If these guys would have followed, which I'm glad they didn't, if they would have listened to Radio Free Readout in the Going Underground series, these guys would probably, most of them, not be in custody right now. But there's a real world example of breaching these little things right here, and that's how you get nailed. The location information generated by the mobile devices, phones and possibly tablets, enabled security forces to track not only individuals, but to map out their networks through co-location. Mobile phones, even when encrypted, and even when using encrypted communications tools, still provide a rich resource of intelligence information to security forces. Now, what's he talking about there? Does that mean encryption doesn't work? No, encryption does work. Encryption is powerful. There are two apps for your mobile devices that I strongly recommend. One is Wickr, W-I-C-K-R. Start using them now to start developing good habits. I know the Chinese haven't invaded or anything like that, but just having habits goes a long way. So, encryption works. Wickr is one where you wish to remain anonymous from, say, a network of people. You don't want to know their real name, so they just go by, you know, Fat Bob or whatever, and that's how you know them. And but you know that they're, you know, they're vetted, they're in your group, they're solid, but you don't want real names going back and forth. All right, now the other one is where you actually have to exchange, you have to know each other's phone numbers, and through that you can learn the other person's identity. All right, and that's a program called Signal, S-I-G-N-A-L. It's was previously Redfone, but they've upgraded. Now you can have encrypted phone conversations, encrypted texting, and file sharing. So Signal is when you don't care if you know each other and you're not trying to hide your identities or anything like that. The other one is Wickr, and that's where you do want to remain a little more anonymous from other members within your group. Here's the thing, though. Don't get led into believing this makes you anonymous. Your metadata still is transmitted. That metadata pinpoints oftentimes your identity or the tower that you're connected to, the phone that you're on, and the metadata of the other party that you are connected with and corresponding with. So they might not be able to see the text, the content of what you're saying, but they can tell that these two people are spending a lot of time sending encrypted stuff back and forth to each other, if that makes sense. So if you want, I don't care if they know that I know my wife, all right, but I just don't want them reading what we have to say to each other. Okay, so there's a situation where it doesn't matter, but if you have a friend that you plan on going to, he's going to hide you. He says, if you ever get in trouble, you come here. And you text and call all the time. They're going to be on his doorstep. I'll talk about that in just a little bit. Modern connected society is a huge data source for the intelligence analyst. Social connections are all mapped out via online social networks such as Facebook, but also in meet space via the mobility of personal tracking devices such as mobile phones. An underground operative such as Salah can avoid using mobiles and computers, but the various elements of his above ground support network are as reliant on modern tools as anyone else. The gorilla must move amongst the people as fish swims in the sea. That's from Mao Zedong. But this writer goes on and says, the problem for underground operatives is that they are reliant on support networks. Support networks for clandestine organizations are almost always based on social networks. Modern society makes support networks an open book for anyone with access to the data, such as social apps, telephone company records, etc., and the analytic tools to parse that data, start pulling it apart and making sense of it, and plugging it into their analytical tools, and boom, there's the whole map of who knows who and who's who. If there is real risk involved, as in political or criminal undergrounds, people build links in the secret society through stronger ties. One result is that secret societies rarely have the lovely cell structure that people think is best for overall organizational secrecy and survival. Most underground networks just grow along the messy lines of pre-existing strong ties, unless some people have enough resources to control this growth and force it into a more hierarchical outcome. All right, so this is a really good article. And we'll link this for you guys. But look, in this Chinese invasion scenario, if that's what we're dealing with, you guys got to remember that the social networks will be critical. If you have to go underground, you must separate yourself 2-3 tiers. Okay, you have personal tracking devices that you need to keep in the back of your mind all the time. It's called a cell phone. And we forget about those. The personal tracking devices will be the underground operative's downfall. That's why I say sanitize now. Just if nothing else, just to start developing good habits. Use Veracrypt. Now, this is how you sanitize. What does that mean? That means clean up your stuff so you don't have sensitive information on there. If you've got a list, contact list of everybody in your underground church, put that in encryption, an encrypted hidden encryption vault in Veracrypt. All right, keep it on a thumb drive and not on your laptop. Keep the thumb drive off site or hidden somewhere. It's very, very difficult to detect. Use KeyPass to generate very powerful encryption, encrypted passwords. KeyPass, KeePass. I had not used this before until last week's course. KeyPass is what it's called. Use that to store all of your passwords so that you can begin having separate passwords for everything instead of just the one password or two passwords for everything that you use. This will generate extremely powerful, practically impossible to break passwords. Passwords are the weak link in your security. Back up your drives and swap them out and keep them stored off-site, because if you get raided, they're going to take everything and leave you with nothing. It'll all be part of the investigation. Every communication device, every computer, every digital storage device, including your DVD collection, everything, right? I'm reiterating what we've talked about in the last few weeks. If someone in your close network gets arrested, expect to be raided. It's going to happen. Especially your tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 from that person that just got rolled up, expect to be raided or at least visited and questioned. Now, you may be raided without warning, which is why you should sanitize prior, like right now. Begin developing the habits now. Because a lot of times they will roll somebody up and they'll get their cell phone and they start looking at all their tier 1 contacts, and they're on their doorstep in an hour. You're not even aware that Joe Schmo has been rolled up. You don't even have a chance to respond, and all of a sudden your door just got kicked in and you're being pinned to the floor because you must be involved in this person's nefarious activities because you're tier one. You're like one of the last three people they called, right? And you're not even aware of it. That's why you are proactive about sanitizing. Look in Belgium, France. You see on the news, their investigations, like within 24 hours, you hear 27 arrests, 38 arrests, 52 arrests overnight, or detained persons, right? Where do they get these 52 people? The guy have a list of 52 people in his pocket and they just started running around grabbing these guys? No, it's all metadata. Metadata is the Achilles heel. It's the last 10 people he's called. They grab these guys up and they grab their cell phones and the last 10 people they've called. And they start grabbing those people up just for questioning, of course, or persons of interest. But in the process, they snatch everything in your home that's electronic or digital. You'll get it back one day, but Shauna Cox got her cell phone back after she was arrested over there in Oregon. She had the video on it. She got her phone wiped. When they handed it back, oh, by the way, here's your cell phone. It was wiped. No contacts, pictures, everything. It was like it came from the factory, except it still had her phone number in it. That was it, based on reports that I've received. So insulate and isolate your communications. Encrypt. Now, remember, that only hides the contents. It doesn't hide the metadata, okay? Use other means and multiple methods of communicating. You might send a text saying, hey, can you send me that file? But they send it in an email. And you don't send it right back in text, right? You mix it up. Use four or five different layers of communications. Meet face-to-face whenever possible, when it's practical, and leave your tracking device at home when you do it. If you do have to hand something face-to-face, if possible, put it encrypted on a disk. In using Veracrypt, encrypt the folder. And then later they can send the password through another method, a drop on the internet, on a web page. It could be in an email. It could be in another, some type of completely different method. Another courier shows up and hands you a little piece of paper or something with the, another contact could send you the password. Okay. Encrypt anything sensitive, pictures, names, numbers, lists, locations, anything like that, especially where all the other home group leaders are and their names and contact information, that should all be encrypted and kept off-site. All right, use a VPN. I already talked about that, a virtual private network, to mask your internet activity and encrypt it. What else? Of course, start using encryption for email now. I just recently set up I've had an unseen.is email account for quite some time. That's based in Iceland. So it's offshore. They have some of the strongest, most powerful privacy laws on the planet. Iceland does. However, it says right in their terms of use that they will never hand over information that's not from an Iceland court. And they did say, if we do receive an order from an Iceland court to hand over information, then we must comply. Now, and they did say, we will just, of course, all they're going to get is the metadata and encrypted files. You know, not breaking into them and handing them the decrypted stuff. But it's a good security measure, but you can take that a step farther by setting up Thunderbird email and PGP encryption, which we've talked about in the past. Have PGP encryption so you can control the keys. So even if Unseen has a back door where they can break that encryption, if you're using PGP encryption, they can only break their own if that's what you use. But if you use your own PGP, they're not going to be able to break into it. Now, right now, Unseen has a lifetime membership special going on, $99 for life for 5 email accounts. And people say, well, isn't there anything out there that's free? Hold on, hold on. I know it's get free whenever you can. But some things are worth paying for. Good encryption costs money, but so does gas, so does milk, so does electricity, so do shoes. Welcome to the 21st century. That's something worth investing in. You're not going to beat that price. Lifetime, $99 for 5 email accounts. Can't you go in with 5 buddies and pitch in? I mean, that's inexcusable not to have it. I prefer Unseen over pretty much anything else, except for my Radio for Readout account. But I use PGP encryption with that. So I have an offshore account, and then I have a server based in the American Readout account, Radio for Readout. But one last thing I want to leave you with. I've got a bunch of stuff here. I could go on for another 30 minutes at least, an hour. But an Ameren Core operator this afternoon brought something to my attention. A 60 Minutes CBS News did a special, and you can just do an internet search and find it yourself. 60 Minutes Overtime is what it's called, because it was the very end of their 60 Minute show, so they call it Overtime. But this is how strangers can hack the phone in your pocket, and also hacking cell phones. There are a couple of videos there. And I'm going to put the link to that article to you for you to go and check it out. But your cell phone is not secure. Your metadata gives up so much valuable intelligence information. And there's not a whole lot. They can't tell what's in it, like I said. If you're using encrypted apps, they're going to ban that stuff at some point. That's why you need to start getting off of that and start getting your own organic encryption, your own program that you control on your own. And we're going to have to start getting away from apps. But right now, we can use the apps, Signal, Wicker, things like that. But just be mindful that the data is there. It's not a big fat secret. If you're trying to remain anonymous or not show a relational tie between you and the other person, if you're trying to coordinate setting up a safe house for you or your family to go to, you cannot be coordinating with that person using encryption, talking back and forth on your phones. It's not going to work. You're going to have to find a different method. And you can go back to my underground series, and there's ways to communicate anonymously and encrypted where you can make those you can have that type of correspondence. But your cell phones, you do not communicate with anyone in your underground network using cell phones. Once you go operational, even prior to that, you need to start figuring out other ways. But I would say start cutting those cords now. So this is somebody you haven't even talked to in like 2 years. But you actually have, but just not using your cell phone. So anyway, there's more. There's so much more to this. It's a whole new brave world we're living in. But I left you once again with plenty to think about, plenty to chew on, plenty of resources for you to go check out over the next week. And speaking of the next week, you guys be blessed. And I will be fielding your questions and correspondence. I do have a full busy week, so go easy on me on the emails. But more than happy to answer any questions that you have. If you can't find answers elsewhere, if I can't answer it, I will get you pointed in the right direction to those who can. As a very special thanks to all the Radio Free Readout partisans who have been helping with Facebook and with the website and with everything else. Amazing. Just a great group of folks, all of you. And in the American Readout or Radio Operators Network, amazing group of people. Great working with you guys. So just keep it up and keep your powder dry. And we will talk next week. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been tuned in to the voice of the American Readout. Good night.